All right, welcome to your City Hall. Today is February 3rd, 2026, and I'm going to call the City of Iowa City meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Alter.
Here.
Burgess.
Here.
Harmson.
Here.
Moe.
Here.
Saleh.
Yes.
Here.
Teague.
Here.
Wyline.
Here.
All right, again, welcome to your City Hall. So happy to see all of you here today that are in council chambers, as well as welcome to anyone that is joining us virtually. We're going to move on to item number 2A, proclamations. 2A is Black History Month. Whereas the City of Iowa City recognized the significance of Black History Month, a time to honor and celebrate the rich culture heritage, achievements, and contributions of African Americans to our city, state, and nation. And whereas African Americans have been integral to the development and progress of Iowa City, from pioneering community leaders to contemporary innovators, artists, educators, and public servants. And whereas Black History Month serves as a reminder of their enduring struggle for civil rights and social justice, acknowledging the historical and ongoing challenges faced by African Americans and their resilience in the face of adversity. And whereas it is imperative to educate our community, especially the younger generations, which there are a lot of you here in council chambers today, the younger generation, about the pivotal role African Americans have played in shaping our society and to foster an inclusive environment that celebrates diversity and equality. And whereas the City of Iowa City is committed to promoting equity, understanding, and unity among all its residents, and to ensuring that the contributions of African Americans are recognized, appreciated, and celebrated. Now, therefore, I, Bruce Teague, Mayor of the City of Iowa City, do hereby proclaim the month of February to be Black History Month in Iowa City, and acknowledge and encourage all residents to join in celebrating the achievements and contributions of African Americans. Let us engage in meaningful activities, educational events, and community discussions that honor the legacy of Black history and inspire a future of equality and justice for all. And we have a couple of groups receiving proclamations here today. Elevate 8, we'll start with Corte Bill, and I'll ask everyone when you come up, or are you all going in any? As you come up, how about you introduce yourselves and your role, and then we'll, after you all speak, we'll be asking up the Banat Mindy Club to come and speak as well. So we'll start with Elevate 8.
My name is Vanessa Shannon. I am Executive Director of Elevate. Thank you. First, I'd like to give thanks to God for giving me the strength to stand before you today. I would like to thank my family for their unwavering support, as well as Fred Newell, Laura Cottrell, and Mayor Bruce Teague. And of course, my Elevate family. Service is in my blood, and I strive to lead with purpose so that other Black girls who look like me can see themselves in spaces like this. Thank you.
My name is Alicia Austin. I am the Chief Financial Officer of Elevate. It's an honor to be able to accept this proclamation, and I'd like to take this time to thank those who have helped me get to this point. Laura Cottrell, Fred Newell and Dream City, Mayor Bruce Teague, my family, and Elevate's executive team. Thank you so much for believing in me and motivating me to move forward.
Hello, my name is Rahman Babikir, and I am a co-founder and vice president of Elevate. I want to take this moment to speak a little bit about leadership. Thank you so much for giving us this honor, and I want to remind us that this month invites us to honor leadership in all its forms. As history isn't shaped only by the most visible leaders, but also by the people who show up quietly, who listen, who support, and make space for others. Black History Month reminds us that leadership can mean stepping forward, but it can also mean stepping back, sustaining the work, and caring for ourselves and one another along the way. especially during trying times. I accept this proclamation with gratitude and with a commitment to honor the past by continuing the work ahead. Thank you, Iowa City, Mayor Teague, and the City Council for this honor. Thank you all.
My name is Corte Bill, and I am co-founder and national president of Elevate. I'm honored to receive this proclamation today, and I'd like to give a special thanks to God, Pastor Frederick Newell in Dream City, Lord Cottrell, my family, Mayor Teague, and my Elevate team. I cannot accept this proclamation without acknowledging what's going on in the world currently. To those watching at home, sitting in front of me and behind me, we see you and we hear you. Elevate is here to bring a voice to the voiceless and make it our duty to fight for the rights of all people. And remember, nobody is illegal on stolen ground that was built off the backs of slavery. Stay tuned. This is only the beginning of Elevate.
Right. Thanks to everybody from Elevate that came. Really appreciate your words today. We're going to bring up the Manat Mindy Club at this time.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rama Sali, and Manat Mindy is basically like a family to me, and it gave me a lot of good opportunities to realize that I really like helping out the community. Before Manat Mindy, I wasn't really big in helping out the community, but now I really love like helping out other people, and I feel like I have a really good thing in my heart because of Manat Mindy.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Aya, and Manat Mindy is really like a big, big group of females that really care about black people, and it's just like any race. It's not just black people, it's every single race.
Great. Welcome.
Hello, I am Nahid Rahim. I'm very glad to join Manat Mindy, and I'm very glad that we've been helping out the community and helping out other people. I'm really glad to be in the group. I'm really thankful for all the other members in the group.
Great. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Irene Adam. I'm very thankful for all the group members, and it showed us how to care for other people, how to be responsible with money, and how to have fun, but also not be too reckless.
Yeah. All right. Welcome, Ms. Sarah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Haroon. I'm a director for Manat Mindy Club. We are in Manat Mindy Club. We're trying to empower young women to create a safe space for them. We have been being out there for almost 3 years, helping the community, volunteers, and educating. We are kind of like being everywhere. We are so glad today to be here to accept the proclamation because, excuse me if I say it wrong, we are honored. Mm-hmm. We are really honored to be here and serve the community. And thank you. Yeah, and thank you for everyone being here.
And thanks to all of you that came to share in this proclamation. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to move on in our agenda to items number 3 through 7, which is our consent agenda. Could I get a motion to approve, please?
So move, Sale.
Second, Alter.
All right, anyone from the public like to address anything on our consent agenda? Seeing no one in person or online. Council discussion. Roll call, please.
Mo?
Yes.
Sala?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Weiline?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. We're at item number 8, which is our consent agenda. Community comment. Is there anyone that would like to speak during the community comment? Please raise your hand if you're wanting to speak on items that are not on our regular agenda. I see two individuals. I see three individuals. Four. I'm going to have you raise your hand a little higher. All right. I'm going to give everyone 3 minutes to speak on items. Just know that the council cannot engage with you all in any discussion or debate due to open meeting laws. There is a sign-in at the back that you can sign up and just drop it in the basket. Otherwise, you'll have to sign your name here at the podium. I'm going to ask those that are wanting to speak to come forth, and you could also start a line in the middle, and we'll allow you 3 minutes, and there'll be a timer right here. So welcome at this time. Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
Yes, my name is Andre Tandu. I'm staying here in Iowa City.
Yes.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and the City Council members. As I say, my name is Andre Tandu. I'm a member of a Congolese community here in Iowa City. I want to speak today about why the community ID is important for people in my community. Mm-hmm. Many people in the Congolese community have lived through war, violence, and persecution. Because of that, fear stays with us for a long time, even when we are saved. Without identification, people are afraid to speak to the police, afraid to report crimes, and afraid to come forward as witness. They worry that asking for people could bring trouble instead of protection. The community ID helps reduce that fear. When people know they can show an ID that is recognized locally, they feel safer interacting with police, school, and the city services. They feel more confident calling for help and speaking up when something is wrong. I know people in my community who will never speak publicly or cooperate with authority if they did not have this ID. With it, they feel seen and protected as member of the city. Community ID do not make Iowa City less safe. They make it safer because people are no longer hiding. I respectfully ask the city council to stand with communities like mine and to support the community ID program by reaching out to Iowa legislators. Your leadership helps people feel safe enough to speak. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask that we hold our applause. Thank you. Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
Thank you. My name is Peter Beiler. I'm from Iowa City. I'm a teacher, so they teach us to sandwich our criticism in between two compliments. So I want to give kudos to the Public Works Department. During the Rochester reconstruction, there was a transformer placed at the top of Ashwood Drive that was right in the line of sight, and that was probably not a big deal to a lot of people, but somebody would have died there eventually. And I went out there today, and they're moving it. This is a year later or whatever, but that's really important, and I'm really glad that's happening. The main thing I wanted to talk about today was the local option sales tax. I don't think it's any surprise to people that people don't have a lot of confidence in government right now, international bodies, federal government, state government. There's a lot of confusion and lack of transparency, lack of good governance in general. So, like, you guys are the last bastion we have of, like, something that I personally really believe in. I think that this government here in Iowa City in the 14 years I've lived here has always been excellent on balance. So I want to read you the ballot language that I voted for the local option sales tax. Revenues from the sales and services tax shall be allocated as follows: 50% for property tax relief, et cetera, et cetera. So what's actually happening that I just read in the information packet is that, 10% is going for property tax relief, and the other 40% or something, I'm making these numbers up, is going for parks projects and roads projects, which you can say, well, it would have been offset in the general fund if we would have, you know, so we can kind of call that property tax relief. But that's not what it is. If the Parks Department needs more money or the Roads Department needs more money, they need to ask for more money in the normal budget. 50% of the local option sales tax was sold in very plain language on the ballot as property tax relief. And so now you guys are going to vote to not use it for that. And I think that's a bait and switch. And do I care that much about the property tax levy? Do I care about parks? Yes. Do I care about roads? Yes. The problem is that that's bad governance, because anyone who's paying attention feels like we were lied to in that regard. So I would encourage you to do that differently and go back and say, no, this was supposed to lower the levy rate, and we should go through the budgeting process some other way. And I'm not familiar with the details. But I think it's important to really protect that faith and that trust that people have in you guys. I'm running out of time, so my other compliment is I was on my walk today, and the recycling guy, there was a bin that was halfway up someone's driveway, and an older person lives there. He literally jumped out of his truck and ran up to the bin to see if they had forgotten to bring it out. And there was no recycling in it because they must be on vacation. Mm. But I just thought, there is a public servant who comes to work every day and says, let's go. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And I want to make sure, did you sign in?
I put my thing here.
All right, perfect. And the first speaker, did you sign in? Yep, yep. And then I'll encourage anyone that is still waiting that in the back there is a sticker or a sheet of paper that you can fill out and just drop it in the basket. You can do that. Yes. All right. Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
Yes. Hello. Good evening. My name is Fault Mohammed, and I am a member of the Sudanese community here in Iowa City. I'm here tonight to just clarify what community ID is and, most importantly, what it's not. There has been confusion about this program, and I want to be very clear that the community ID is not a driver license, and it's not a state or federal ID, and cannot be used to vote or register to vote. It also cannot be used to access state or federal benefits, and cannot be used to board an airplanes or prove immigration status. The community ID is a local, limited form of identification designed to help people identify themselves in everyday situations, especially when interaction with local situations or emergency services. For many people, this ID is the only way they can safely identify themselves if they are a victim of a crime, a witness, or sometimes just calling for help. When people understand the limits of the community ID, it becomes clear that this program is about safety, dignity, and trust, not politics. Right now, this local program is being challenged by legislation at the state level because Iowa City has firsthand experience with how this program works. Your voices as city leaders is important. I respectfully ask City Council to support the community ID by the following. First, communicating with the state legislators about the true purpose and limited scope of this program. Second, asking legislators to allow Iowa City and Johnson County to keep a tool that improves local safety. And third, continuing to stand publicly behind this program as local situations that meets real community needs. Keeping the community ID helps people feel safe enough to come forward, speak up, and cooperate when it matters most. Thank you for your time and listening.
Thank you. And we'll ask that you hold applause and reactions. Thank you. Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
Amy Hernandez, North Liberty, Iowa. I am here on behalf of the Immigrant Welcome Network of Johnson County. My name is Amy Hernandez, and I am a first-generation daughter of Salvadorian parents. I am here speaking on behalf of the immigrant community who cannot speak out due to fear and safety concerns. I'm here to speak about community ID, which directly impacts Johnson County and Iowa City, and to respectfully ask for your support in protecting a locally approved program that has benefited our community. On January 21st, community members and advocates from Immigrant Welcome Network of Johnson County and Iowa Migrant Movement of Justice traveled to the State House to testify on House Study Bill 552. This bill wants to prohibit local government from issuing community ID cards. Approximately 75 community members testified, including immigrants, service providers, and advocates. Every speaker opposed the bill, sharing how community ID improved public safety, trust, and cooperation. Despite this strong community opposition, the subcommittee voted to advance the bill to the full committee. This legislation matters deeply to Johnson County and Iowa City because Johnson County currently is the only county in Iowa City with a community ID program. Many people assume community ID are only for immigrants. In reality, this program serves a wide range of residents, including seniors who no longer drive, people who lost documents due to fires and other emergency, individuals experiencing homelessness, and young people without access to state-issued IDs. The Johnson County Community ID is a limited local tool. It does not grant federal benefits, does not replace state or federal identification, and cannot be used for federal purposes. Its purpose is practical, to allow residents to safely identify themselves in everyday interactions with local institutions, emergency services, and law enforcement. From our direct experience working with community members, the most significant impact of the community ID programs have been improved public safety. When people feel safe identifying themselves, they are more likely to report crimes and cooperate with law enforcement. When fear increases, people are more likely to stay silent, and silent makes communities less safe for everyone. For this reason, I respectfully ask the City Council to take the following action. First, I respectfully encourage City Council members to communicate directly with state legislators and your lobbyists to express concern about HSB 552 and its impact on Iowa City residents. Second, I invite the Iowa City Police Chief and officers to share their professional perspective with legislators, particularly on how community ID supports corporations reporting and community safety. Thank you for your time, leadership, and consideration. And I currently invite the members of the Immigrant Welcome Network of Johnson County to rise and stand with me. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks. We have one more speaker, two more speakers. We weren't supposed to clap, but yeah. Welcome, Iowa. Welcome to Network. Mayor, all right. Please. Welcome. Yes.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Badri Faragalla, and I am a part of Sudanese community in Iowa City. I want to share why the community ID matters to us and how your leadership can help protect it right now. Sorry. In my community, many people have experienced trauma and deep disturb of authority because of what they lived through before coming to the United States, like me. 3 years of war, I am serving with USAID for 20 years. I received this SIV to come here. After I came here, more than 2 or 3 months, I was waiting for my documents, so I am very fear of going out of home.
Okay.
The community ID changed that. It gives people confidence that they can identify themselves and be treated with dignity. It helps people trust between the community, and it builds the trust between the community and law enforcement. And when trust exists, people come forward to report crimes, to cooperate, and to help keep everything safe. Iowa City is safer when everyone feels able to speak up. That is definitely right. Right now, this program is being threatened by state legislation being considered at the Capitol. Because of that, your voice as city leader is very important to us as a community. I respectfully ask the City Council to support the community ID in three ways. By communicating directly with the state legislators about why this program improves public safety in Iowa City, as my colleague has said before. By inviting inviting or encouraging the Iowa City Police Chief to share their professional perspective with the legislators about how community IDs support cooperation and trust. And lastly, by continuing to publicly, I affirm the city's support for this program as a local decision that meets local needs. Your leadership helps protect programs that allow people like me and my neighbors and my colleagues to feel safe enough to speak. Thank you for your time, and thank you for listening to our voice, and God bless you.
Thanks. Thank you. Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
Thank you. My name is Bijan Maliabo. I am a leader in a Congolese community in French-speaking, Swahili, and Lingala-speaking of African descent. I'm also a former Center for Worker Justice board member. Through my work there, I firsthand saw the program that the community ID helped people. I was directly involved advancing community ID program in Johnson County. At the Center for Worker Justice, we work with people from Latino American, African descent, like Congolese, Sudanese community, and many other communities. People were working, raising family, and contributing to Iowa City, yet live in fear because they lack identity. That fear had real consequences. People were afraid to report crime. I was with those people when they were afraid. Afraid to speak with the police. I was with those people. I spoke on their behalf. And afraid to come forward as witnesses. That silence made our entire community less safer. The community ID changed that. It reduced fear, built trust, and made people more willing to cooperate with law enforcement and access local services. That benefit immigrant community, and it strengthened public safety for everyone. Community ID do not create danger. Fear does. And this program reduces fear. As this program is being challenged at the state level, Iowa City must continue to lead like you guys are leading. I urge you, the city of Iowa City, City Council, to firmly stand behind the community ID. Community ID communicating its public safety value to the state legislative. Please speak up and support law enforcement voices. Who knows this program work? This is a local solution to a real local need. I have to see it work. We have to see it work, and we have to work together. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to everybody that came today to speak during public comment. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to move on in our agenda with 9, planning and zoning matters. 9A, zoning code text amendment, state preemptions. Ordinance amending Title 14, zoning to ensure compliance with changes in state law related to home occupations, consumer fireworks sales, exterior building materials, variances, and accessory dwelling units. This is the second consideration, and staff is requesting expedited action.
You have your card? I have a card, but he's got
I get to do it this time, Josh. I move that the rule requiring the ordinances must be considered and voted on for passage at two council meetings prior to the remaining at which it is to be finally passed be suspended, that the second consideration and vote be waived, and that the ordinance be voted on for final passage at this time.
Moved by Wyline.
Second.
Seconded by Mo. All right. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? If so, please come forth. If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one in person or online, council discussion. Roll call, please.
Sala?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Wyline?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Moe?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. Could I get a motion to pass and adopt?
So moved. Alter?
Second. Burgess?
All right. Roll call, please.
Teague?
Yes.
Wyline?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Moe?
Yes.
Sala?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. All right. We are on to our item number 10, which is our regular formal agenda. 10A, a city park shelter replacement. Resolution approving project manual and estimate of cost for the construction of the city park shelter replacement project. Establishing amount of bid, security to accompany each bid, directing city clerk to post notice to bidders, and fixing time and place for receipt of bids. I'm going to open the public hearing and welcome.
Hi, Julie Seidel Johnson, Director of Parks and Recreation, here to talk about the City Park Shelter Project. This is going to be a rehab of basically all of City Park, or most of it. I'm excited to move forward with this with the changes happening both at City Park Pool and then Terrell Mills Skate Park. So basically what this does is it renovates most of the shelters. In Lower City Park, it's going to remove 6 shelters, replace them with 5 shelters, and renovate 1 restroom. And then in Upper, and I'll go through this on the next slide in more detail. In Upper City Park, it'll remove 4 shelters and replace them with 3 shelters, 1 large and 2 small. And then there's several bid alternates. The shelters were chosen based on the amount of use that they've gotten, of whether they're being replaced with smaller or larger sizes. So basically, the best way to describe this, in Upper City Park by City Park Pool, there are 3 currently, or there were 3 shelters to the west of the pool and 1 restroom. The restroom was already taken out as part of the City Park Pool project because the restrooms are now going to be attached to the pool building. There were 3 large shelters there and 1 by the historic cabins. One of those shelters was taken out for us by an errant car who overshot the parking lot. So we now have 2. So 2 of those will be replaced on the west side of the pool. One, the larger one, will be placed closer to the pool, taking advantage of the paths from the pool to give us better ADA access, and have the larger of the 2 shelters closer to the pool. And then shelter 1 is replaced on the far west side by the parking area. And then there'll be a shelter replaced by the City Park cabins. Once again, a smaller shelter closer to the parking area to give it better ADA access. So as we bring the shelters back that we're putting back in, they stay similar locations to where the old shelters were, but they are slightly moved for a couple reasons. First of all, in a lot of cases, moving them closer to the road or the parking gave us better access and shorter amounts of ground to have to pave to give us paved access. We're also very cognizant of all the large mature trees in Upper City Park. So in order to minimize the amount of construction damage that might happen with any kind of construction under those trees, some of them have moved to more of the open spaces. So that's Upper City Park. Lower City Park, the 3 things that aren't changing there is, first of all, the restrooms and shelter by the Riverside Festival stage. And then Shelter 6, which is a large green roofed shelter. And then there is a new smaller shelter that's by the Adventure Playground area. So those 3 remain the same. The shelters that potentially go away are a smaller one that was close to where the carnival rides used to be, and then another one by the boat ramp or where the bocce courts used to be. With the City Park Master Plan from 2016, we've been gradually moving everything, shifting it away from the river and up towards the hillside, hence why carnival rides are no longer there, the bocce court is no longer there. So those are the 2 that potentially would go away. There is an indoor shelter kind of by the central part of the Lower City Park by the lake. That is going away, but it's being replaced by the indoor room or community room that's going with the indoor pool. Or with the City Park Pool, City Park Pool above. So that shelter goes away and it essentially moves to Upper City Park. And then the other shelters remaining would be replaced. The brick restrooms near the Adventure Playground area will be renovated. So they will stay the same. It's a historic building, one of the I think it's the last building left from the old zoo that used to be in the park. So we're going to renovate that, keep the restrooms there. And then one of the alternates is to replace the other restroom in Lower City Park, not the one by the stage, but the one kind of by the horseshoe court. So that's an alternate. If we don't do the alternate, that restroom would stay and we'd keep it as serviceable as long as we possibly could. So just a lot of moving parts in this one, a lot of different alternates, depending on how the bids come in, how much of it we can do. But I think overall it's going to give the whole park just a really nice facelift and really create a nice, you know, updated atmosphere. This is how the restroom will be changed by the Adventure Play area. Estimated cost, $1.3 million. Schedule bid letting March 3rd, contract award March 10th, and then construction over the summer.
So. I don't know if I heard this correctly. Are you replacing the park restroom facilities next to the stage?
No, nothing
happens.
There's
no modifications
to the restrooms or the little shelter that's by the stage.
Okay, that remains the same.
They got a new sewer line with the pool project, though. But
okay.
Yeah.
That'll help. Julie, you mentioned that the sizing of the new replacement shelters and the question of, like, reducing or, you know, mm-hmm. taking out a couple, understanding the one replacement of the interior one moving up to the pool building. You said that was based on, like, just user statistics. Can you say a little bit more about that, like what you looked at? And
yeah, so it's not an exact science, but we look at two different things. First of all is our actual rentals of the shelters, and we know which ones are most popular. And City Park, and by and large, is very popular throughout. Our other one is trash and garbage. We can tell how much a shelter's been used by how much garbage we're taking away from it on a regular basis. So not a perfect measure, but we think it's pretty accurate. We also look at where the heavier user areas are in the park with, like, the new Adventure Play areas. We've got people playing there more along the paths and trails. All of those things come into play. We had a public meeting, I should mention, back on August 13th in the park. The residents surrounding the users that came thought that the ones we chose were accurate as far as using and not using at that time, too.
Thank you.
Do the replaced or updated park structures get electricity?
I do not remember off the top of my head how many. Some do and some do not. Basically, if they have them now, we would keep it. I don't think we're adding any at this point.
And then it's kind of really related to the stage park, but do you put bike racks at these park shelters?
That is, it's part of the alternate, but it's also another thing that we look at adding as we renovate each facility is where we can put more bike racks.
Great to have a bike rack by that stage. But
okay, that wouldn't be part of this project, but we can certainly look at
it. We could drag it over, right? Yeah. Thanks.
Here are no more questions. Thank you. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. See no one in person or online. Council discussion.
Need to close the public hearing, Mayor.
Oh, yes. I'm going to close the public hearing. Could I get a motion to approve, please?
So move. Mo.
Second. Harmson.
All right. Council discussion.
Despite Julie talking about not having that particular piece of information about the whether it was electrified or not, I'm pretty much just staggered that you ran through that entire thing without notes. So it says this is deeply embedded in what you have been focused on. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Roll call, please.
Wineline?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Moe?
Yes.
Sella?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. We're at 10B, termination of Lower Muscatine TIF District. Ordinance repealing ordinance number 04-4024, providing for the division of taxes levied on taxable property in the Lower Muscatine Road and Highway 6 urban renewal area in the City of Iowa City, Iowa, pursuant to Section 403.19 of the Iowa Code of the Code of Iowa. This is the first consideration. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved. Sauter.
Second. Alter.
All right, and welcome, Jeff.
All right, Council. I'm going to present on both of these items at once because they're very similar. We're just talking two same action on two different geographic areas. Urban renewal areas and TIF districts, these terms often get used interchangeably, but they are very different. An urban renewal area is defined as a geographic area in which a city would like to see various urban renewal projects take place. That could be private-public partnerships, infrastructure, and such. A TIF district is an area defined within that urban renewal area that provides a financing tool to help you achieve those goals. So an urban renewal area could have multiple TIF districts within it. when you're creating a TIF district, if that's your goal, you start with the urban renewal plan, which defines the urban renewal area, and then you can locate the TIF district within that. We are here tonight on both these items doing the reverse. So we are taking a couple of urban renewal areas as our ultimate goal off the books, and you have to do this in reverse order. So we start by terminating the TIF district, which is what you have in front of you. So when it comes to TIFs, there's multiple types of TIF. You may hear this as the legislature talks TIF reforms. There are some TIF districts with no statutory sunset periods in which they can live forever if a city wants to allow that. A lot of other TIFs are set on 20 years. Those are the ones based on an economic development designation as opposed to a slum and blight designation. And we're talking about, in both these cases tonight, economic development designations for these TIF districts. So the first one is the determination of the Lower Muscatine Highway 6 TIF district. This was adopted in 2002 based on economic development, and it appears to us as it was a prospective type of action. So the city did this without having a specific project in mind, but at the time felt like it could be needed to enhance the economic activity in that area. This district was never put to use. There was never a project in there, and staff sees no reason to maintain it at this point. It's been well over 20 years, although there's never any debt certified there. And the second one is just to the east. It's the Industrial Park Road TIF. This was adopted at the same time, again, as part of a larger strategy at that time to bolster some of the industrial activity at the city. Again, this TIF district was never put to use. There was never any certified debt, never any projects contained, and staff is comfortable taking it off of the books at this time. This is the schedule, and the last point on this slide is what we want to reiterate. This doesn't take TIF off the table forever. If we eventually were to identify a need for that, we will create a new urban renewal area with the City Council's blessing. We would bring a new TIF district and ultimately present you with whatever project that may be. We don't foresee that happening in the near future, but this action does not preclude you or a future council from doing that years down the road. Happy to answer any questions.
Does this have any impact, or will it have any impact on some of the work that Greater Iowa City is doing with that Sycamore Mall area being kind of designated zone of
interest? Yeah, this map is taken from the plan. It's a little older, but you can kind of see the hash-marked area here. This sits just to the east of that main corridor in the Strategic Investment District that Greater Iowa City has been working on. So we are already planning to create a new urban renewal in that area that's going to shift the boundaries to more of the commercial side of things as opposed to the industrial side, which this focused on. So there are plans in place to accommodate that, but this action does not inhibit us from achieving the goals outlined in their strategic investment district.
Is there any reason other than just good bookkeeping and cleaning up our districts to get rid of them, to sunset them?
I think we came to the conclusion that it's the appropriate thing to do. Although, you know, what the the statute says is that it's 20 years after debt is certified. It's been more than 20 years, and we haven't pursued a project. We don't have any in the queue, so we think it's appropriate. You may call it bookkeeping, and that's largely what it is. But to have these hanging out there for extended periods of time is when really the intent is for short-term urban renewal. It's probably, in our view, it's not the best thing. So we'd like to clean them up and revisit it in the future if we feel like we need it.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? Seeing no one in person or online. Council discussion. Roll call, please.
Alter.
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Moe?
Yes.
Sella?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Wyline?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. 10C, termination of Industrial Park Road TIF District. Ordinance of repealing ordinance numbers 02-4025, providing for the division of taxes levied on taxable property in the Industrial Park Road Urban Renewal Area in the City of Iowa City, Iowa, pursuant to Section 403.19 of the Code of Iowa. This is the first consideration. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved, Burgess.
Second, Mo.
All right. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? Seeing no one in person or online, council discussion. Roll call, please.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Mo?
Yes.
Sella?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Wyline?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. Item 10D is assessment schedule. Resolution adopting an assessment schedule of unpaid mowing, cleanup of property, snow removal, sidewalk repair, and stop box repair charges, and directing the city clerk to certify the same to the Johnson County Treasurer for collection in the same manner as property taxes. Can I get a motion to approve, please?
So moved. Mo.
Second. Alter.
Anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one in person or online. Council discussion.
I just have a question. When we send this to the treasurer and the owner came and said, oh, I can pay it now, is that possible? Or after it be referred, that's it?
It's certainly the property owner can pay at any time, and that would be welcome. But we've communicated with the property owners numerous times leading up to this point. Uh-huh. So one would assume that if that was their intent, they would have already done so.
But there is opportunity for that.
Yes.
When they see, for example, this one being referred to their tax, and now, like, this is serious, and I'm going to go and pay it, so it's not going to come to my tax.
You know? Right. Then they could choose to either pay it separately if they wanted. I assume that that would still be an option with the sure. county treasurer, or they could just simply pay their property taxes with this extra assessment as they would otherwise do.
All right.
Roll call, please.
Harmson?
Yes.
Mo?
Yes.
Sella?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Wyline?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0. We're at item number 11. Announcements of vacancies new. 11A is going to be Historic Preservation Commission, one vacancy for an East College Street representative to fill an unexpired term upon appointment through June 30th, 2027. And applications must be received by 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. Can I get a motion to accept correspondence?
So moved, Wyline.
Second, Tyler.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Number 12 is announcements of vacancies previous, 12A. And we have the Civil Service Commission, one vacancy to fill a four-year term. Human Rights Commission, one vacancy to fill an unexpired term. Library Board of Trustees, one vacancy to fill an unexpired term. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. Airport Zoning Board of Adjustment, one vacancy to fill a five-year term. Airport Zoning Board of Adjustment, one vacancy to fill a five-year term. Board of Appeals, one vacancy for a licensed electrician to fill a five-year term. Board of Appeals, one vacancy for a HVAC professional to fill an unexpired term. Historic Preservation Commission, one vacancy for a Brown Street representative to fill a three-year term. Historic Preservation Preservation Commission, one vacancy for a Jefferson Street representative to fill a three-year term. Historic Preservation Commission, one vacancy for a Woodlawn Avenue representative to fill a three-year term. Vacancies will remain open until filled. We are on to item number 13. This is City Council information and updates. And any board or commissions that you were on that you want to report on at this time?
The Iowa City Assessor Evaluation Committee meets shortly before our meeting today. Yeah, the information you received is pretty consistent with what we got. Just a longer version of that meeting where we could sort of see both the good work that our assessor does, our city assessor does, also why we have a city assessor. We don't have to have one. That was a choice long ago. And also just some interesting work that they do tracking property tax and property tax reform over the years and how it impacts the city. So it was instructive for me. And if you guys get a chance to be in this committee in the future, it's kind of helpful to understand this, the mystery of assessment.
Yeah. I think all of us were in the MPO meeting. Most of us, you know, Sean was not there.
Sorry, I had car trouble. So, but not planned.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I don't know.
I was able to attend my first ECI COG meeting, and in that, it was actually very robust. It was like 2 hours long. But the big takeaway that I think is really relevant here is that we got a legislative update from a gentleman, and he was sort of talking about what the legislative climate is right now. And he said, as much as property tax reform is what, you know, is in the papers and is the priority, he said that the amount of tension that is going on with the carbon capture and the pipeline actually rises above and could stymie because there's so many moving parts and there's like three different plans, none of which are close to one another. That actually the results of what happens with carbon capture could impact property tax reform. So that was the takeaway. And there was a lot of other stuff, but I just kind of like zeroed in on that and was like, oh, whoa. So just something for us to keep an eye on.
As the student government liaison, I feel like, I don't know if right now is the time to talk about the, I know we were already reminded, but we have the town hall coming up. I don't know how many folks are planning on attending, if we can't have a quorum or if we can have a quorum.
We can have a quorum. Yeah. We typically notice it up like any other public meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure about that.
Yeah, because that's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
Just council information. I was in the, not like a reporting, right? Mm-hmm. Myself and a lot of people, we went to Des Moines and attend the community ID. And unfortunately, it passed the subcommittee, and now it's coming to the full committee. And as you see, a lot of people came today and talked about that and how this is important. So I encourage you to reach out to those 22 members of the committee and encourage them to keep something that really was unique to Johnson County. And it being created by elected official who know their county very well and the needs. So that's why this community ID being, you know, approved long time ago and people are using it for like now many years, and it make our community safer. It make the people, you know, feel like belonging, and it make them just a simple thing. They can identify themselves.
And I'll just say, like what other folks said about community ID, it's not just for immigrants. I mean, it's for anybody in many different situations. But one thing years ago that it was kind of called out to the community is even if you don't need one, go get one and normalize it. I've had one for years, and I love using it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I can comment on that, but I want to make sure we're not doing open meetings law. Violating that. So I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. this past week. Mayor Pro Tem also, I went to the U.S. Conference of Mayors as well as MIP, which is the Mayor's Innovation Project. And Mayor Pro Tem was able to join. She went to the MIP. Mm-hmm. Great conversation throughout. I won't talk about all that happened, but there was a lot of great conversation between big city mayors and mayors that have similar fields to Iowa City that are university communities. And I can tell you that there are so many similarities that it was totally shocking, the things that folks are talking about. Just a few highlights that I wanted to mention, and I know Jeff certainly want to, keep us abreast anything that happens with housing. So Senator Elizabeth Warren came to talk to the group, and she talked about the Road to Housing Act that is happening. And in that, if it does pass, now it passed the Senate, but it is kind of held up in the House. But there will be some great things coming through that, and it really is comprehensive. When you think about the lifespan of housing, from prevention, true prevention, to all types of housing opportunities, including manufactured housing, where folks can access federal dollars for loans because that's something that they can't do right now. But it was a lot of great things. They talked about plan books, which for me, I'm thinking that's form-based code, where you could go in and, pick out some housing types or projects. Developers would probably love that. There's a lot of things that happened when it came down to opioid settlement dollars. We heard from Ohio what they're doing with theirs, Durham, North Carolina. What they're doing with their funds. And I want to say that Durham, North Carolina, they had a community safety link that they showed us, and it really had a full gamut, kind of a one-stop shop for social services is the best way that I can describe it. And so they use some of their opioid dollars towards that and some innovative programs that came through that. Data centers were also a big topic throughout this convention in various ways. I think there's a lot of conversations happening around it. My walk away is that data centers are going to happen throughout our nation. And, I think cities just want to make sure that they're having conversations and from the beginning, putting up some guardrails as well as understanding how can they benefit the community. Other than that, there were a lot of great things happening, but a lot of the conversation did center around ICE and what's happening. I can tell you that I was among a bunch of Democratic mayors, and so there was a lot of similarities and thoughts and hopes for getting beyond this and for the damage that it's doing to communities. Throughout our nation. So there are great opportunities through this conference, and really enjoyed the opportunity to go and represent the city of Iowa City. All right. We're going to move on to item number 14, which is report on items from city staff, city manager's office, city attorney's office.
Nothing for me either. Thank you.
All right. City clerk. And we're at item number 15. Can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
Move to adjourn.
Move by Sala.
Second.
Seconded by Wildline. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? We are adjourned.
6:59, not 7.